morning, Natalia.
Hi, Amanda. Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world.
Yes, I'm very early morning still. Well, 6:30.
Early for you. Good grief. Yeah, is it another beautiful, perfect day in paradise?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the sun is rising, and so the clouds look amazing and all pink and really beautiful. Yes, definitely. It's all peaceful here.
I'll be joining you. In fact, I was hoping that today you might be able to share some of the epiphanies and takeaways of living your highest truth, and you know, and how it's affected your personal life in every way, your marriage, your children, your inner world, and you know, because it seems to me that that's what everyone's next step is whether it's not necessarily moving to Hawaii, but living their highest truth for their family, and what the effect is, you know, on their family when they do that. Do you feel up to sharing all that today?
Sure.
Some aspects of it anyway, things that feel like worth,
yeah,
that you're ready to share?
Yeah.
Cool. And do we have some questions from the forum as well?
We actually didn't have any new questions. I think the spam is kind of scaring people away. So there was one about chlorella, but nothing new from the forum. So anybody on the phone that has questions at any time, you can just go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. And then if you have something that you want to say in response to something that we're talking about, press 2. And or if you want to submit a question to us on the discussion forum or on the online forum, you can just click the link that's in your email, and then you can enter a question, and we'll see that on our dashboard. But we can't respond to you, so don't expect a response from us via text or, you know, on the computer.
Yeah, and I really want to apologize for the spam situation. It's been kind of an ongoing problem that we've been between a rock and hard place, because if we change the technology, then it forces people who are legitimate to sort of fill in all this special stuff to confirm their legitimacy, and that also is a bit of a deterrent. So it's been it's been difficult to figure out how to navigate that, but we are trying to find solutions all the time. And with the new website redesign, there should be some. I know our web guys are finding all sorts of new innovations and ways to work with it. So please bear with us, and thank you for your patience with that.
Yeah, and know that if you do submit a question on the forum on Life Force Families, that we will look at it, and then we will address questions on this call if they don't get addressed on the forum, which people are still talking to each other, which is good. So we will, you know, I will look through them before these calls too, and definitely we'll talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, great.
Yeah.
Well, so Amanda, just to open, make your life an open book.
It already is. Don't worry about it.
I know it already is. So there we are. You know, I feel the sense I get is that you're at a crossroads, and you've completed a cycle, and you're beginning a new cycle, and so I thought maybe in the spirit of completing this cycle, you want to share a little bit about what your takeaways are from the cycle, and then maybe what you are, what you're setting your sights on for the next cycle, what you hope to achieve in the next cycle, and how you intend to do that, and what has worked for you in the last cycle, and maybe what didn't work for you, what you might have done differently, if anything. You know, and maybe advice that you would give to people who are consciously, actively undertaking the steps to align with their highest good. And again, it doesn't have to mean physically moving. Oftentimes, it will mean that, but it doesn't have to mean that. So, I don't know where you want to start with all that.
Yeah. Well, I think where I'll start is where I think we all start is with. Just that yes that comes from a really deep place within us to align with our highest truth. So I think what happened in my situation is I got to a point, and it really happened very quickly after I shifted physically. So the physical body was such a stagnation point for me for so long that I could not get beyond it. It was like my life was just basically centered around that as a pain point. And so living my highest truth and aligning with truth, I mean, whatever. Like, I had no idea what those things meant, nor was I really interested in that because I was just so stuck in a body that felt achy, for lack of a better word. I mean, it wasn't like I had crazy any diseases or anything. It just, I never really felt great. And so I was so self-conscious about it. And, you know, I remember this one time I was at the park in New York, and I won't forget, you know, there's those moments in your life that just, they're so crystal and they're so clear. And I really think those are like these signposts that when we scan our life looking back, we can really glean so much out of. But we were at this park in Tribeca in New York, and there was this woman. We were at this little outside concert at that park by Whole Foods, and they had this free concert series in the summer. And I saw this woman, and she was dressed basically in all white. She had a white, like kind of flowy top on and a white, long, flowy dress. And she was running with her children, and they were having so much fun. She was swinging them around, and they were having so much fun. And I looked at her, and I was like, she looks so free. Like, she looks so uninhibited in herself. And I was so envious of that. And I also think envy and jealousy are huge signposts for us too. I think they really show us where we know we can go and where we're probably going if we allow ourselves to. So I just saw this and I was like, oh wow, that looks amazing, and I want that. And this was before I had found your work, Natalia. And it was very shortly after that I found your work. You know, I was there feeling really dumpy with my new baby and wanting to be that kind of a mom where I was just, where I could play and have fun and not be so concerned about how I felt and how I looked and how my clothes were hanging on my body and, you know, all that. So anyways, I think the physical body was like such a huge breakthrough for me. When I found your work, what it did for me was it reconnected me to my body and it reconnected me with food. And what I really think, you know, food was just such this bittersweet thing where it's like I loved it, but I hated it. It was like the source of so many problems, but I also loved it and wanted to eat it, you know, so it was like this constant struggle and battle. Mm-hmm. And it connected me to my food in a way where I could love it and where I could really purely enjoy it and not worry about its measurements or my measurements or, you know, it was like, wow, I can really get back into knowing that. Well, what I realize now is that food in its purest form carries so much information for us. Mm-hmm. And so when we're eating in a way that's open and receptive, we can obtain so much information from that food. And so much wisdom and knowledge and insights. And we might not feel it in the moment as we're eating it. We may. But, you know, I really think it's a conduit. It carries so much information for us. So that's the beginning. And I think what happened then is that it then opened me up to be able to ask higher questions and to be able to ask and to be able to commit to different things in my life. And one of the first things that happened was I wanted to help. I wanted to serve. I wanted to, and I thought at the time it would be, I wanted to share the information that you were sharing. And it was like, yes, people are ready for this information. They want to know about this information. I want to be one of the people to help spread that word. And so that's why I reached out to you. But it was really this process. It's such an evolving process. And that's what's happening in all of your lives right now. It's just this amazing unfolding process, and we're just going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper all the time. And so I think one of the most important things is to be aware of the questions that we're asking. And when we're going through times that are seemingly difficult or challenging, instead of why me, why is this happening, why am I going through this, those are the questions you absolutely don't want to ask. And the reason why I'm emphasizing questions is because I think it is so utterly important that we are asking questions that allow the real truth to be revealed in our life. And so when we're going through hard things, it's not why is this happening, it's what quality is wanting to be birthed through me right now? Is it more trust? Is it more compassion? Is it prosperity? And then the follow-up question is, what do I need to let go of right now in order for that to be revealed in my life? So is it my logical mind, which is what I was going to come to eventually, is this cycle that you so beautifully put that feels like it's coming to a close or, a book chapter kind of closing for me. One of the biggest things I've done is really get in touch with the feminine aspect of myself. And the feminine aspect of myself for me, those are just words, but what that means for me is my intuition, my feeling, my power from a different place, not power because of the way I look or the suit that I'm wearing or my cleverness with my words, but the power that comes from this deep part. And really, if you think of your womb as the source of that power, it's that creative power. It's this that place where that the void, the black hole where all creation springs from, that's our womb and that's our power source. So tapping into that power, also opening up my heart. So opening up my heart so that I can truly love and truly express from a very pure place. And then opening up my sixth, my insight or my intuition, my sixth sense, my third eye, so to speak, so that I can really open up to the living library that is this world. And so for me, the connecting with the feminine has been a process of that. And so nature is so necessary for that process. It has been for me, and I know, Natalia, it is for you. I mean, you're in Central Park daily, and you're always in search of the sun. And, I think anyone who gets to the point where they're wanting to access higher wisdom, nature is such an incredible conduit for us in that way, and that's why the food is part of nature. So when we're eating that pure food and not the food that's all contaminated and manipulated, we're getting pure information in that way too. So,
I know, speaking of pure information with nature, yeah. I mean, there's so much information in the wind and the rain, and I feel like I'm not even a part of that. I don't even get that the nutrient value of being in that in that kind of environment, which I crave. But yeah, carry on, please.
Yeah. Okay. So this cycle, this book closing has really been, I was so logical. I was so analytical. I'm not saying those things are bad. It's just that if you really look at a balance, I was very, the masculine qualities in me were very developed, which is a good thing. I mean, it's good because the balance is really what we're seeking. But I had an overdependence on relying on those to guide me. So it was like, well, if the research showed me, then that's where I would go. Or if we did a survey and this is the results we got, then that's how we would move. I had intuition. It was there. It's just that I would discard it all the time. And so this last chapter in the birth of Pelema TV and the actually finding my voice, I mean, I remember when I first started writing, just being like, wait, can I just say that? I remember literally having this conversation with whoever I'm having the conversation with as I'm writing things, being like, wait, am I allowed to just say that? Because I feel that's true and because I'm moved to say that, am I allowed to just say that? It was like I needed someone to approve that. Shouldn't I cite someone? I mean, even though I'm kind of just saying that, shouldn't someone be cited? Isn't there some research to back what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this last cycle has been so much about just that initial leap of following my inner guidance. Following my inner guidance to an island I had never been to, where I didn't know any people, where I'd never seen the house we're going to live in, follow that guidance and just go and trust that whatever unfolds there is going to be what needs to unfold. And then work through the aftermath of that, which is really hard because it's not always perfect. It's not always magical. There's a lot of like, oh my God, what am I doing? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've woken up in the middle of the night literally sweating. Just like, am I crazy? Is any of this working? What are we doing here? It's all of that definitely comes. And I'd say the more that comes, the more you're probably on a path to more good and more beauty and more magic than you've ever imagined.
I mean, if you think about juxtaposing the life you've had over the last, how long have you been there now? Is it a year and a half?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. So so you sold your place in California. Imagine the life you would have had if you'd stayed in your place in California, like New York aside. So there's the New York parallel reality, alternate reality. Then there's the California one. It was, also very urban in its way.
Yeah.
And then this one. And if you think about how you've developed and your girls have developed and your marriage and your relationships, what you've created, what your life would be like if you were in the other two parallel realities.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Oh, the feeling I get when you even talk about that and when I even like imagine it is just the word stagnation. It's like, especially the California reality. It's like it would have been me saying, okay, I'm going to do what feels safe for sure. My family's there. Jason's family's there. This feels really safe and very familiar and so unstimulating. I'm not talking about, stimulation and the way we talk about it sometimes with toxicity. I'm saying so dead. Yeah, dead and just blah. It was so not where I was supposed to be. And this is the funny thing. When I was 9 months pregnant with Madeline, the shoulds were in my head. You know, you should, once you have a baby, we were living in New York. Once you have a baby, you should be around your family. You should be back in California so that your mom can help to take care of the baby and Jason's mom can help to take care of the baby. And then they're around the cousins and you really should. I didn't feel that at all. In fact, every time I thought of leaving New York, I would cry. I mean, literally, I would go into tears because I wasn't ready to leave New York. And now I know, looking back, I hadn't met you yet, Natalia, and I hadn't, and maybe we would have met some other way, but I know that meeting you was such a big, like, crossroad in my personal path. And so so there were things I needed still out of New York. There were things that still needed to be birthed in New York, but I totally went against all of my inner guidance. I totally went against the fact that I would cry every time I thought of moving back to California. We moved to California when I was 9 months pregnant. I know now that really if I had been listening, Madeline wanted to be born in New York. I mean, that sounds maybe airy-fairy, but I really think that Madeline wanted to be born in New York. Anyways, she was born in California. I was miserable for 6 months. Miserable. I mean,
and you had the C-section and all that that went down.
Everything.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everything. And I was so sad. I was sitting there watching What Not to Wear as I was breastfeeding on the couch, just sad. You know, it's like...
It's so hard to believe that you metamorphosized so fast.
Yeah, it's been really
fast. Yeah, but sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting.
Yeah. So anyways, so I think, when we have those calls inside, it's like the pain will just keep growing until we make changes. And it doesn't have to look anything, it won't look anything like what I've done. But it's the point is what is like gnawing at you? Like what is like in there that you're just overriding with the logical mind? Now the logical mind is so useful when the spirit is guiding it. I mean when spirit and when your intuition and your gut knowing is propelling the mind and your logic, amazing things can happen. That's for sure. It's not like the logical mind needs to be put away. But for me, for a while, it did, actually, because I was so dependent on it that it needed to sort of like just be, pushed aside while I developed this other part of myself. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think that the book that's closing, I mean, I've had so many like cycles close now. I think that we're probably going to move to another island, which feels so amazing. I think there were things that I needed to do on this island. There were themes that needed to close. One theme that used to come up for me a lot was this theme of betrayal. And I know now after doing a lot of work that betrayal is just a a theme that I, in many lifetimes, have felt like I was the victim of, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a shift from being a victim in any aspect of life to knowing that I am creating it. I am fully empowered to create my entire reality, like in every cell of that, not mm-hmm. some ways I am good at creating and some ways I'm not. It's like, no, the whole thing is being created. And so my logical mind has screamed and kicked and fought, and I've had to like really work through a lot in order to get to a point where I can trust more what wants to unfold and what wants to come through. And it's definitely not always easy. You know, when I say it in like the looking back way, it sounds like it's just a smooth process. And I just want to emphasize really clearly that it's not. And that if you're expecting that, you won't get that. And then if every time something comes up and you feel fearful, you run for the hills, you're not going to make the kind of progress you want to make. It's really going toward fear, saying, I see you, fear. I'm doing it anyways. I see you. I'm scared. It feels really bad, but I'm going to go anyway. And that's the same about our emotions. It's like, okay, I feel judged. I feel rejected. I feel whatever, you know, scared, betrayed. Okay, I see you feeling, and I'm going to allow you to move in my body, and I'm going to be with that. And then I'm going to transmute that. And that's a whole other process I've learned how to do. And I know that we women know how to do that in the core of who we are. We know how to transmute emotions that seem negative into positive emotions. And I think that we have the capacity to do that for the world. I really do. I think that we know how to bring emotions into the womb and to transmute them so that we can you know, make the world a better place in our own way, service redefined. So anyways, I've learned so much, and now I'm going into the next phase, which is really wanting to know empowered consciousness and be submerged in empowered consciousness. I'm really looking for, like, vastness, too. I mean, where we are in the jungle, it has been so nurturing. It's almost like we've been in the womb. But now, like, I want, like, really open skies and, you know, expansive views. And, you know, it's just, and then now it's just a process of knowing that I can have exactly what I want to have. And in every way, there's no need to compromise.
So you really, you've slayed the fear dragon by living through the fears, mm-hmm. letting them move through you, as you say, and not, the idea of not opposing nature. And and so in this flow, you've realized that the fears actually aren't that scary. They're just projections of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to the other side of them, and then you're able to do something bigger because you don't, you're not under the shadow of fear.
Exactly.
And the next time around.
So and with every fear dragon that we slay, there is a quality within us that is either deepened or birthed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's all of these latent qualities in us that are the essence of who we are, joy and love and compassion and power and wisdom, and all these things are in us and maybe lying latent right now because we're not allowing them to be birthed because we get stagnated at our fear. So mm-hmm. once we go through the fear, then these qualities that want to come through us, it's our spirit, it's our nature, it's the universe, they're allowed to flow. It's just like doing a great colonic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it has been the most incredible 2 years of my life, no question. And it's been an amazing roller coaster, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And, you know, we came with maybe, you know, my logical mind really needed a solid plan. And, of course, I had already quit my job, and 2 months before we came here, Jason knew that he needed to quit the work too. Actually, it was like a month before we came. So now he's quitting. And so the trust level that we will be taken care of, I cannot tell you how many times that muscle has had to be exercised. And that affirmation that I am, I have, all of my needs are met. All of my needs are met. And I trust fully that if I continue to let my essence move me and let a higher calling move me, that I will completely be taken care of by the universe.
Mm-hmm. And that's already shown itself to be true, right? I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, if you just look at monetarily, we came here with like maybe 9 or 10 months savings, knowing that I came here. I was like, oh, I'm going to need to make money really quick. So how do I do that? But I have been so shocked at the way that we've been taken care of, and it is not the tit for tat thing that I was used to. It was not you do X and you get paid Y. It's been, mm-hmm. you do X, and you get paid W. It's like, mm-hmm. it hasn't been in that logical way at all. And truly, I have had to be like, whoa, this is like being on the universe's payroll. Like, I am mm-hmm. working for the universe. This is, wow. I mean,
and the currency is so different.
The currency is so different. The currency is different, and sometimes it's the same.
Well, what I mean is, right, meaning that like what you really value in currency, the leaps in life, the openness, yeah. the greater life force, yeah. you get the abundance of that, and that being the currency that you value more than other currencies,
yeah.
but living still requires the world currency,
yeah.
So,
yeah. You still need to buy your organic food so you can juice, and you need to have the mm-hmm. roof over your head. And yeah, I mean, so it's definitely been also a shifting of what's important to me. You know, it's simplifying, and it's not out of, oh, great, now we have to simplify. And, you know, it's like this, the image of having to cut back and tighten the belt and none of that. It's been, wow, like I really love quality. I love beauty. But I love it in not the way that I was sold that it comes. You know, I love it in beautiful carved wood. I love it in, not as much man-made beauty around me, but mm-hmm. beautiful trees and flowers, and all those things are free. You know, they're here. So, yeah, it's been incredible.
In terms of having this kind of experience and the openness, it seems like, you told me a long time ago about when you first got there, it really stuck with me about how the harvest, the seasons of plants are rapido. It's like, it's not like yeah. there's, one or two harvest seasons. It's like the fruits come up month by month. It almost seems so rapidly. Mother Earth is so fertile and there's so much output.
Yeah.
And so it seems like that mirrors the rapid
yeah.
speed at which
yeah.
one evolves when they're there. I mean, you
yeah.
say that things happen, like it's like you're always your evolution is just like put on super speed.
Yeah.
And but it seems in order for that not to burn you, but to
yeah.
propel you, you really have to be so open and so receptive. Otherwise, it would be like, fruit on a clogged system.
Exactly.
So,
oh, totally. That's a great analogy.
But so how does somebody who is, how does somebody sort of differentiate between their programmed fear, and which is kind of it could be argued rational or irrational fear, but it's not a useful fear, how does someone differentiate between that and the whispers of the universe say no, don't do that, and so that they can trust that it's safe to be in an open flow to evolve quickly?
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's a good question. I think, honestly, that process of honing that skill requires some trial and error. You know, it's like... Because the words that come to mind is the program fears feel constrictive. They feel panicky. You know, they feel like, oh God, no. You know, they in that word again. I use that word constrictive a lot because it feels just like, oh God, like the breathing, like you notice your breathing, like when you think about that, going after that thing, it's like, oh God, can I do this? Also, the voices are like, can you do that? Like, should you be doing that? Who are you to do that? You're not good enough. You don't have enough education. You don't even know this industry. What do you think you're doing? It's like those voices, those are programmed voices. Those are definitely conditioned voices. When spirit is, and I'll speak from my own experience, when spirit is saying, don't go down an avenue, normally what happens is as I begin to go down that avenue and it doesn't flow. Mm-hmm. So like I'll have an idea and I'll be like, maybe there's some fear that comes up around it. And I sort of go, okay, I'm going to go through the fear and I'm going to go after this thing anyways. And I go after it, but it doesn't flow. It gets stuck. So for example, the backstage passes that we're doing, when I first moved here, my logical mind, and actually, I won't even say that. What I'll say is I was seeing glimpses into the future because I would meet these people and I'd be like, whoa, it'd be amazing to have classes with these people, to do some sort of online school with all of these amazing people that I'm meeting. And so I went after that. I went for it and it didn't flow. It was like, it was hard. It was every single thing that I tried to do felt heavy and burdensome and slow and sticky. So eventually I was in the process of learning. Eventually I said, okay, I'm going to cut this off. Now I've had to do this start and stop thing several times where it's kind of embarrassing because now I've gotten all these people excited about something and I cancel it. Or, you know, I go for something and then I realize that it's not flowing and I cancel. So one of the big things I've had to learn about is obligation and how obligation is one of the things that has to go in order for us to really be aligned with the universe. Because obligation keeps us stuck and looking back. But there's a very graceful way to do it, but I had to kind of stumble through it. So, and it's being unafraid to make mistakes because I did make tons of mistakes. I mean, I'm surprised that half the people on the show that have been on Panama TV even trusted me once I really came around and said, look, I'm serious. I'm really doing something this time. Will you like to be on the show? But, so I think it's just a process of being okay with learning that, Natalia. There's like
it's an ego drop. It's a way to validate or to that you truly to yourself that you've truly dropped your ego when you're not afraid mm-hmm. of what the feedback's going to be because you're really doing this in service and that's the bottom line. So if you stumble a bit as you do that, you know the people who need you and who depend on you and who are you're going to provide their next steps. They're certainly going to forgive you for it. If only politicians and doctors and other people would second guess things, would change tracks when they know that they're off track. But their ego gets in the way and they have to prove that they're right come out of hot water, even when they know they're
totally.
Wrong.
Totally, yeah. And that was funny because when I would explain to this particular group of people, each time I start and stop, I mean, Dr. Patricia Mather and Aria Lorenz probably got start and stopped on by me, I think, four times, where I would be like, I have this idea, I want to do it, I want you to be a part of it, and then I'd have to go to them almost like a little doggy with my tail between my toes being like, it's not flowing. It's not, like, coming through me. I can't even write the marketing material. Can we just... Can you know that I have the intention to work with you at some point? I just don't know what it's going to look like right now. And of course, all of them, they totally get that. They're, of course, if it's not flowing, we don't want to force anything.
Exactly. They know that that's going to be a waste of everybody's time.
Mm. Exactly. So, that's a great question, though. And I think, and I think it's really helpful, too. I've had Jason with me along the way, and he is such my mirror... I don't even have words to describe the role that he plays in my life. It's like, I know I could not be where I'm at without him. And so I think having people in our lives, it doesn't have to be your spouse, but people in our lives that are that person where you can say, hey, am I going crazy? Or, you know, this fear, I don't know if it's real or if it's my ego, I don't know. You know, just to have person to really be that support. And I think as long as we ask for that, as long as whenever we say, you know, I really need that, I need guidance, I need someone in my life who will be that for me, I think that they will come, they will show up,
mm-hmm.
you know, whoever that needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like flow is the word that keeps coming to me in this call, and there's a sense of what you did was you took that stagnant matrix of your life, and you started to wiggle it around, and mm-hmm. you wiggled and wiggled and wiggled until it really shook loose, and then you reconnected with or you stepped into the life force energy network, and in that you found greater satisfaction on every level. You found this openness, and suddenly you were invited to the real party.
Yeah.
It just seems to me that that seems for my life to come up as the never-ending unfolding, because I'll get to a point where I think, okay, I just opened up another layer of blossom further, and I've gotten past something. Like you say, I love that that question to ask yourself, what qualities is the universe trying to birth in me? I can't remember exactly how you phrased it, but something like that. Like something was in the way, and it needed either to be dissolved or it needs to be birthed. It just needs to move, because there's no movement there, and it's kind of blocking your door.
Yeah.
And so you know, only by getting through to the next layer of blossoming does the next thing come up, and you realize, well, wait, there's further opening that can be had, and in that further opening, of course, lies your next unfolding of joy and greater freedom. But before you get to it, it's always that kind of feeling of this is the one thing I really can't give up, or it's really the one thing I can't get over. It's that ring past knot, And, you know, certainly if you have any advice to share on getting past that ring past knot, opening up to that level that you just don't think you can do. And for some people, they feel like there's a block in their relationship, and they're immovable because of their relationship, maybe because of a habit they have, of a sort of a crutch in their lives that they feel like they can't do without. And those all, obviously could keep one locked up in fear, too.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I mean, what I would love for everyone to take away from this is, like, here you have systematically, though, whatever the equivalent of feminine is for systematically, it's like
flowy.
Evolutionary blossoming, flowing, dissolved through it, all of these things rapidly, like one after the other, in 2 years, like boom, 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 boom. And, you've become a pro with this. You're like, you know, Sir Gawain the Green Knight, you're Sir Gawain, and you're just like ready for action. You can take down any dragon any day, any time now. But like some people are just having their first encounter with the Green Knight, you know, or the Sir Gawain, sorry, I think I'm mixing them up. Anyway, let's say Beowulf or whatever. I don't know. Let's not use old English literature as comparisons, but basically the dragon. So some people are facing their first dragon, it's only once you feel the triumph of slaying your first dragon that you actually feel skilled, that you're ready for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, of course, the trapping of becoming a dragon slayer, because that can be its own problem.
It's
something that people fall into and think, okay, well, I can just keep slaying dragons. It's a lot of fun. But what advice, what guidance could you give to someone who sees something in front of them that they think is truly immobile, and they want to get past it, they're desperate, they're hearing you today, and they love the idea of being so adept, but they just don't see how they can do it. Mm. That's a biggie, sorry.
No. The words that come to me are honesty, and also affirming the truth of who you are. So the truth of who you are is that you are an eternal being who probably has slayed these dragons many, many times. And they're coming up in your life right now to teach you something. So there's this process of seeing them, acknowledging them. So let's say it's a relationship. Acknowledging that you're in a relationship that is not serving you. Acknowledging that that's where you're at. And asking for guidance, for sure. asking for guidance for how to move through that situation. And when the guidance comes, to not be afraid to act on it and to understand that the fear is never going to be as bad as the ego wants you to think it's going to be. Jason does this all the time. I love it. He'll do like this scary monster, like, you know, like think of the cartoons when you see the shadow cast on the wall, and it's like this big, it's like a mouse maybe making this big, huge shadow that, you know, looks all scary like a monster. Think of that as what your mind is doing to keep you stuck in the fear. And know that when you honestly go towards that shadow on the wall, you're going to realize it was a mouse. And that you are fully capable of handling whatever it is that has come up. It would not be showing up in your life if you could not handle it. The universe only gives us as much as we can handle. So whatever it is, you can handle it. And that's the truth of who you are. The truth of who you are is that you are not the program. You are not the fear. You are not the conditioning. You are an eternal spirit. You are made in the image and likeness of God. I mean, that word God, I mean, even for me, still to this day, just Catholic, born and raised, it's like there's so much stuff around that word that doesn't work for me. That's why I usually use words like universe and source and Mother Earth and, you know, all these other things. But truly, God, the prime creator, the source of where we come from, you are a part of that. You're not even a part of that, because that can't be broken up into parts. You are that. You are an emanation of that. And so you can definitely handle the mouse that's putting the big scary monster on the wall. You can. And it's just, I use affirmations a lot. I mean, there's times where I'll hit another sticking point, and I go into affirmations. Every single night before I close my eyes, I'll repeat them. The fear will come in, and I'll repeat the affirmation. But there's also the allowing it to be there, like not trying to shoo it away, just allowing it to be there and understanding that it's part of the process. And just because there's fear doesn't mean we don't do something. Fear is actually a signpost that's probably exactly what we need to be doing in that moment. So I hope that helps. Well, I would love to actually kind of crystallize that even more.
Well, I think you're doing a beautiful job. In fact, I think you should be doing a course on this. I think you should be backstage with Amanda. I think it should be Amanda's course, because I think you have so much to teach everyone. I think everyone will agree wholeheartedly. But, you know, it's funny, because when you thinking about how think about the shadow, which is like that artificial matrix, and staying within the safe programming and the social conditionings and the things that the shoulda, woulda, couldas, or the shouldas anyway, that keep us in that smallness and that quote safeness, it's not safe. That's what's going to beat you down.
Yes.
The day-to-day living with that, under the thumb of that. And it seems like it's not. It seems like that's the safest way. But in fact, that's going to be choking, going to make you old. It's going to make you sick. It's that, you know, if there ever were a scary monster, that's a scary monster. By contrast, the seeing through it and walking through it anyway and seeing it to be the mouse will give you that big empowering freedom that erases all that accumulated history, that takes you into a new level of being, that does whatever, it does the opposite, breaking you down, and builds you up. So it's triumphant in every way. So I think one way also to know that it's a good move is to check it against some of your other programs. Like, for example, if you're running, if the question is, you think you're following your heart because you're following a desire to leave your husband for another man, and you might think at one point, you might think, well, that's what my heart wants. My husband holds me back, and you can give yourself all the reasons, and you can look at this other man, and you say, well, here, think of all the reasons that he will build you up, and you have this great future with him. But then you have to ask yourself, well, how much of this kind of projection I'm putting on this other man is not to do with my programs too. The Hollywood movies I've watched, all these kinds of kind of romantic messages that we get. So maybe I'm going from one conditioning to another, one program to another, because I think that's going to be my liberation. So to avoid falling into that trap, what you can always ask yourself is checking to check yourself is this selfless? Is this for the highest good of the universe? And when I say selfless, I don't mean that it won't benefit you. Yeah, I just mean that it's that you're not going to be denying your truest nature, but you are going to be doing something that supports all of life. So is this something that if every woman did, life at large would be better? Every man did, life at large would be better? You know?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question, Natalia. And I think the other thing in that example that you just gave is there is a denial of the truth of who you are, because if you're looking at that man thinking that he is going to complete you, he is going to make you better, I mean, he's going to fix something that this other man isn't able to do, that's a lie. That's a complete lie, because you're already whole. The truth of who you are is that you are already whole and perfect. No man or no woman or no job or no child can ever fix that. It's not possible. So you're definitely bought into a program, because you've bought into the program that you're not whole, that you're not complete. So yeah, that and that is so true too. Like the imagining, if everyone was about to do what I'm going to do, would the world be a better place? And this is not to say that you everyone stays stuck in relationships that don't serve them, but there's definitely this process of really figuring out where that drive is coming from. And really, whatever hole you're trying to fix by going towards another person or another job or another geography is still going to be there. So you may as well handle it in the circumstance that you're in. I mean, you're going to recreate it again, so just handle it now if you can, and if you feel capable. Or here's the thing. This is one thing that this kahuna that I was listening to on Friday nights here in Hawaii would say, some Hawaiian spiritual wisdom. He would always say, the aimless arrow never misses. And for the longest time, I was like, what is he trying to say? And basically what he's saying is, we can't mess up. We can't lose. I mean, we're all going in the same direction. The question is, how painful is that process going to be, or how joyful and liberated and flowy is that process going to be? But we're all going in the same direction eventually.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also, what that means to me is that you're creating every moment. So if you're going to create haphazardly, then you're still going to create something you're going to have to deal with.
You are. Because if you in that situation go and you're with that man, you are definitely going to learn a lot from that situation. Like, it's not going to be a wasted situation. Now, it really may be the biggest train wreck of your life, but you're going to learn a lot. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't lose. And there's a lot of, I think, comfort in that, also knowing that we choose whether or not that learning process is going to be graceful or really not. But one other thing that has come into my mind a lot of times in the last 2 years is, it's awkward before it's elegant. Mm-hmm. So there's a process where it feels awkward, it is awkward, but eventually that turns into something elegant. And I don't think that always has to be true. I think that is definitely true in the beginning of our awakening, though, for most of us.
Yeah, I mean, you think about a figure skater, the first time she skates to ice, you know, chances are she's not doing what she's doing 10 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's funny, I had a shaman, the shaman I've worked with for years, she tells me that, because I've had many people I've referred to her, and often it would be a case of relationship issues, and she will not take on a client for relationship issues unless they commit to staying in the relationship for one more year. Because for this very reason, because she wants to help them rectify themselves in, you know, before they go out and recreate the same mess again.
Totally.
And in fact, if you can harmonize your situation, then you know that even if you choose to leave it after you've harmonized it, you're going to take the harmony into the future. So you might rectify it enough that it becomes something that feels beautiful to you again, to, you know, make the old relationship into something beautiful if it wasn't working, or you know that you've healed yourself, the other person isn't capable of going where you want to go, and they don't harmonize with you anymore, but you know that whatever you take forward is going to be great. And I think this goes, this stands true for financial situation as well. If you're taking a leap because you think you're going to have financial or romantic success by going into something else, chances are you're going to be disappointed. If you go into that something else because, if you walk away from the thing that wasn't working to just be what is working in you, then naturally by the laws of the universe, whatever it is that you want to manifest will happen. But so instead of jumping from one stone to the next, it's about, in midair, you need to be in the perfect harmony. And then wherever you land is going to be great.
Exactly. Natalia, there was something earlier, you when you asked the question about knowing if you're in ego, or knowing, or well, you didn't say it that way, but that's my translation. Knowing if your fears are legitimate, or if the universe is, or knowing if you're in legitimate fear or irrational fear or programmed fear. And one thing that Jason has said to me so many times. So when we're in our fears, or when we're looking out at the world and we're in a program, and we're blaming someone else, or we're feeling like the situation is really real. So, Jason does something and I'm upset with him and I'm blaming him for, this is not the best example, but, the house is always a mess and it's his fault and it's because, he doesn't pay attention. And, so I'm doing the whole blame game, right? I'm pointing outside of myself for everything. If your thoughts are primarily of lack, limitation, worry, doubt, you know that you're in a program. If your thoughts are primarily lack, limitation, worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, you're in a program. And there's been so many times where we've been in a discussion and Jason has mirrored back for me, Amanda, are your thoughts right now expansive or limiting? Are you feeling, are you doubtful, fearful, worried, and in those moments, it's almost like this hand reaching through the muck, and like pulling me out, and my ego, even in those moments, will resist it. It's like, oh, who is he to say that I'm in a program? I'm not in a program, and the rage that comes even from that. But then that moment, that just knowing that voice of reason is so right on, and sitting there and being like, he's right. It's like, If there's anyone in our life that can do that for us, and we'll get to the point where we can do that for ourselves, where we can just be like, whoa, are my thoughts right now expansive and abundant and, creative, or are they constrictive and full of lack and doubt and worry? It's like, it's really clear, I think, either way, which if we're in program or if we're in flow and expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, completely.
Yeah.
That's a really helpful tool. Amanda, you wrote a couple of blogs recently that I think people will really want to look at. Do you want to tell them where to find them, and then also talk about some of the tips that you have in there about the kids?
Yeah, sure.
The intuition. I think it's something I don't want to miss, unless anyone has questions for Amanda on this topic, because I think people may well have lots of questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead and press 1 or 2 on your keypad if you want to chat. It's always fun to talk with people, too. I've been writing a lot of, I'm just thinking of, it's funny because I'm not using Facebook in the way that any marketing person would say is intelligent, or logical, because really what's happening is I'm getting downloads of content, and it's like, wow, I really want to share this, and I know that they're long, and most people read Facebook just for the little short clips, but I'm posting them on Facebook anyways. And one of the ones that I just posted was on cultivating our children's intuition, and we talk about this a lot, and for me, it's like, probably the most important thing I can do with my children is to reinforce for them that they are their own best guide and that they don't need me for all their guidance and they don't need the outside world for that, and that, you know, within them they have all of the wisdom and knowledge that they would ever need. And so I posted, you know, 5 ways to do that on the blog or on the Facebook. And, oh, the Facebook, that's what he was going to call it at first. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but then they just called it Facebook. But anyway, it was non-interference, so practicing the art of non-interference. I think, you know, we're programmed to be jumpy and, you know, meddle and control and manipulate as much as possible, and we do this out of fear a lot of the times. And we've talked before on this on these calls about irrational and rational fears around that. So non-interference is one. Keeping the physical body clear, I think, we talk about cleansing the body and also helping our children have clean cells and tissues. Definitely from a health perspective, this is important, but also from keeping them a clear and open channel for them to hear the wisdom of their own guidance. The physical body is a conduit for that. So when we're feeding our children foods that allow for that channel to remain open, we are really doing a huge service to our children beyond that they won't have to deal with weight issues and you know, disease and all these things. We're also helping them keep that clear and open channel where their intuition and their instincts, they're all intact, and they're capable of responding when they need to. Then there's also keeping the emotional and mental bodies clear and allowing our children to fully express their emotions instead of reacting out of our own discomfort with that. And a lot of us have discomfort with emotional expression because we were never allowed to emotionally express. So when kids are crying, it like grates on us and it's like the most awful sound. But really that's because we haven't allowed for ourselves to express our own emotions. So there's this huge simultaneous process of allowing ourselves to heal that. But allowing our children to fully express themselves emotionally, to cry when they need to cry, to be upset when they need to be upset, just to allow that to come through versus stifling it, redirecting it. I mean, sometimes redirection is good, but really we don't want them to accumulate emotional stagnation because that is just as much a gucky substance that doesn't allow for their intuition to operate fully.
Amanda, can I interrupt to ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a way to help if a child who's having a very chaotic expression that's probably something brought in from, you know, old patterns from maybe previous lives or whatever, and they're expressing it in a really cacophonous kind of a way, is there a way to help them change it into a very valid, fully expressional kind of expression, but in a more harmonious way so that they learn how to express fully but just harmoniously?
Yeah. Well, in my experience, something that's been very helpful for that is body work and emotional releasing for them. So allowing them, it has been very helpful for me because when Madeline first came here, she definitely had a lot of cacophony from, I told you I was breastfeeding and watching What Not to Wear. You know, so it was like, and I was miserable for 6 months and, you know, the birth trauma and, you know, all the things that she had and was carrying with her. So I have found it to be very helpful for both myself and for her to do to work with some of the healers here who do body work where they can literally put their hands on the body and help to release inharmonious energies from the body. And then also that work on a purely energetic level to clear trapped emotions from their emotional field. But then also there's definitely ways. I think there's definitely ways. And I think that there we could do a whole call on that. You know, we could do a whole class on that.
Yeah,
it's actually
okay.
What, you know, Dr. Patricia Mather will be covering, Aria Lorenz will be covering in our backstage passes. is how to get that into harmony, that emotional expression.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, then. I didn't mean to derail you.
That's okay. No. Mental body's clear. I think so much of this has to do with the programming that kids are absorbing from television and from movies. I mean, I'm even noticing so much of the subtle programming in the movies that from a very early age is telling the kids that they need other things outside of themselves to be whole, that
mm-hmm.
they need to be fixed, that they don't have enough. I mean, this is crazy. So I haven't had magazines or any magazines in my house for a couple years. They just haven't found us here yet. But they actually did a couple weeks ago. It was Hannah Anderson or, you know, one of the little children's magazines came in the mail.
Hannah Montana?
And I found myself, this is the funny thing, I haven't thought about, like, decorating the kids' rooms or, you know, cute little things here and there, and I haven't thought about that. We moved into a furnished home, and it's perfect. It's just, it's simple, it's clean, it has everything we need. But I even found myself flipping through this magazine going, oh, that would be really cute for Madeline's room. Oh, whoa, that butterfly hanging. Oh, that's so pretty. You know, I found myself, I was like, whoa. It's amazing. It's almost like these magazines are coded with, you need more. There's lack in your life. Buy me. You know, this will satisfy you. It's like, it's amazing to see that. But I think our kids, like you've said so many times, they're like eggs. They're absorbing all of this information. And I think it's very subtle most of the time. But there's things and messages that are being sent to them that they're not good. They need more to be whole. So I think limiting media exposure is so huge, in terms of allowing the intuition to continue to be cultivated. And then cultivating our own intuition. So the process that we talked about today of practicing, trying it, allowing yourself to fumble, not being afraid to fumble and make mistakes, and exercise that muscle and realize that you have this guidance system within you that is so pure and will never lead you astray. And when you know that about yourself, you will have the freedom to reinforce that in your children. But if you're second-guessing yourself and you're second-guessing your own ability to do that, it's really, really difficult to reinforce that for your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Possible. And what I find in my life with my kids living in New York City with all the influences is that just by living what I know to be true, I don't even have to, you know, I couldn't force them at this stage in life anyway, you know, 10 and 12. They're living in this world. I can't not let them live in this world. You know, I should be living somewhere else if I don't want them to live the way they're living. But I really do believe that it's such a huge influence. It's just that I stick to what I believe and I do what I do, and they'll always have this kind of, you know, this voice, this example that, you know, they might not seize everything and take it on as I do now, but I really do have faith that they're going to see that all the things, the disappointments for them aren't going to end in disappointment. They're going to end in revelation.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's, whereas for us, until we found solutions, they just ended us up in disappointment after disappointment and dissatisfaction with ourselves.
Yeah.
Like we somehow were failing. Everyone else was getting it right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our example is golden. It's really the only thing, really. Our words are just words, but when we're living in the truth of who we are, that's what we're passing along to them, is that gift that they then have permission to do that themselves, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Natalia, we're definitely over our time, so
okay.
we can talk about any of the things that I'm writing. You guys can check them out on PeleMa.tv. If you hit blog, you'll see both the videos that we've posted, but you'll also see the written blogs that I've done. There's also, I wanted to let you know, if any of you missed, I did a top 10 most inspiring and empowered women little series, and I posted this on Facebook too, but I've also consolidated it and put it on PeleMa.tv. And we're doing a little raffle where if you submit your top 10 women, then you enter in a chance to win a seat in Catalin Coda's Fire of the Goddess Embodying the Sacred Feminine class, which in terms of cultivating the feminine aspect of ourselves, this class is like, amazing. I don't know if you haven't had a chance to read her book. Her book is so empowering. It tells all these stories of goddesses and all these different archetypes, and it gets you totally fired up to really cultivate.
Say the name of it again?
It's called Fire of the Goddess.
Fire of the Goddess, wow.
Fire of the Goddess, and then it's embodying the sacred feminine. And so what I want to do is create a big database of empowered women, stories of empowered women, because we don't have a lot of them. Empowered women who are using their lives to be of service, who are actually channeling that power and love and wisdom and using their lives to be of service. So I made my own list, but now I want everyone else to submit their list so we can create this big database of, like, for lack of better words, women who kick ass, so that we can all be totally fired up to be women and to be women in this time, where the Dalai Lama says that Western women were the ones who are going to change the world. So if you submit your top 10 underneath that blog, then you enter in a chance to win a seat in her class, which will be just an awesome class. Go ahead.
No, I just think the exercise alone of thinking about who the top 10 women are in your life who you would classify as empowering is in and of itself an amazing exercise to just give you your own revelations.
It was for me, too, and it was also a way for me to be in total gratitude for all of the courage and all of the learning that these women, which you, of course, were one of, my number four, but all of what I was seeing is basically like pioneers and way showers, and these people have had to do so much in their lives they've had to overcome, slay so many fear dragons to be where they're at. And so it was such an exercise of gratitude for me to just sit there and be like, wow, you know, and they aren't all living. A lot of them for me were either characters from the Bible that for me hearing the real story of their life, not the contrived story that I've been fed my whole life, to hear like who they really were, what that has done, how that has healed so many aspects of myself. So biblical characters, goddesses, and then living modern women. And then, you know, anyway, so it's not limited to just people who are alive today. It's anyone who's like, whose story is like something that you can draw upon to really receive courage, because we don't have a lot of people who are living this way right now to show us the way. It's in so many ways we are the ones who are figuring out how to do this, and then helping each other as much as possible. But, you know, it's for each individual to figure out on their own. So we can definitely draw courage. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. This should be like a major motion picture. It should be, you know, this. I could see you making this into something that, you know, every girl, woman would see. I mean, to me, nothing else I'd rather take in than this information. You know, like, it'd just be so empowering. Any bring past knots, I think that would help to certainly dissolve. Thank you for inviting us to do that. And, you know, Amanda, you're so generous. You've given us so much. And I think I stand with everyone when I say, you know, please let us know what we can do to support you and your causes and everything. And you're telling us a few things, and, you know, we'll be doing those things. But don't be shy in asking of us, too, because we want to keep your wheels turning. We want to keep your machine going, whatever this divine feminine is of machine. But, you know, it's really important that, you know, you are supported by the people who you're helping. And you're not asking anything of us. And, you know, we stand in your service to some in whatever way to support you in your fantastic endeavors.
Well, thank you, Natalia. And one way, I mean, Natalia is going to be teaching a preconception cleanse, or Natalia and I both are going to lead a preconception cleanse as part of the backstage passes. And, you know, Natalia, giving your time in that way is incredible and so supportive of everything that I'm doing. And also then, you know, everyone gets to benefit from that. So if you are trying to have a baby, or if you are getting ready for baby number two, or maybe baby number one is you know, years away, which is like totally ideal. You know, the preconception cleanse, something that Natalia has generously offered to lead, is going to be an amazing experience, and we'll be doing cleansing on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, so that we're really creating fertile soil. And this is for men, too. Definitely invite your men.
So important, the seed and the soil. They both have to be healthy.
Oh, yeah. So cultivating that and really creating that that environment, because when I think about this, I mean, ideally, Natalia and I have talked about this, we start to cleanse our bodies and our minds and our emotions before we even find our partner. But even, I mean, the second next best thing is that we have our partner and we cleanse before we have our children. And then the third next best thing is, you know, maybe we've had a couple kids or we've, you know, been trying to have kids. At any point that we decide to cleanse, it's like that's the moment that we can change. And I really think that when we make that decision, we're not only affecting the future and our future children, but there are shifts and changes that happen at a cellular level, at a DNA level for our existing children and our existing relationships.
Totally. It's never too early and it's never too late.
Nope. Never. Mm. Never.
Yeah,
so,
well,
and I'll think of things that I can ask you guys for, but really it's like, I want to communicate and I want to, engage in really connected conversation with you all, you know, via Facebook or whatever avenues we have. Oh, Jason and I are starting a radio show too.
And, bring it on.
Yeah. So I think our first one is going to be today, actually, at 10 my time, 11, 12, 1 Pacific time. And we're just starting to dabble, but all of you are invited to join. And, you know, there's so much coming through that it's like we need every avenue open to express and to share. And hopefully
how do we access this?
I will put a link on Facebook today. It's going to be an internet. It's Blog Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. I'll put a link, and please call in because having conversations is way fun. You know, where we're bouncing things off each other. I think that relationship Jason and I have had with each other, we can expand that out and help and be that for anyone else who is looking for that type of support.
Oh, Amanda, this is brilliant. I'm sure it's music to everyone's ears. And is there going to be, it's going to be recorded so that people who can't meet up at the right time. Okay, great.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard. And we're thinking it's going to be, next week we're going to do a one Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we're going to have guests come on and we're going to do it. I mean, what happened is I realized that I love TV. I don't love TV, but I love Pele Ma TV, the way we were doing it with video. You know, I love that. But there's a certain barrier to that because it's expensive. It's, you know, I need a crew. I need, you know. So the information that's coming through right now wants to be spoken, like, in the moment. Mm-hmm. And radio and sound really provides that outlet. So be prepared for just, like, a lot of fun and a lot of just like information streaming, which is, you know, oh God, Natalia, have you heard of, you know, people say light, love and light and love and light. Uh-huh. Have you ever thought of light as just pure information?
Information. I've written about that. In the latest, in the latest advanced training course, talking about the natural laws and that light is carrier for pure information. Exactly.
Exactly.
Because because it's the divine blueprint. So constantly carrying all the knowledge of the universe.
Exactly. So it's like, whoa, it gave me, because you and I have talked a little bit about the light chasers, you know, the mm-hmm. the love and light. And there's a lot of that out there. But when I think of light being information and love mm-hmm. being creation,
mm-hmm.
love is creation. And our experience and knowing of our oneness with creation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, whoa, it just like totally anchors both of those concepts for me personally. Right. I don't know, you know, for you guys. But anyways, yeah, so the radio show is going to be super fun. And, yeah, we're just going to keep going.
And yeah, I think one is the aggregation of information, which is love, and the other is the expression, mm-hmm. the outflow of that information. So if our information is rooted in loving vibrations and frequencies, then the expression is going to be loving.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Amanda, I think everyone needs to go do what they need to do and come back to hear you and Jason on their time clock, whether it's if they're in LA, it's 1. If they're in New York, it's 4. If they're in Hawaii, it's 10.
Yeah.
If they're in London, I guess it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I guess it's 10.
Nice.
Tune in, peeps. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it myself.
Yay, good. Okay. Well, love and light to you all.
Okay, everyone.
And thanks,
we'll see you next month. Yeah,
okay.
Lots of love.
Aloha, everybody.
Bye.